Good morning, everybody. We are so glad that you guys are here today. I want to welcome the LT parents that are joining us for our LT barbecue, parents barbecue today. My name's Ben Brand. If you don't know me, I'm one of the pastors here. This is the talk, in case you're wondering. Sometimes I introduce. Today I'm not. This is me. I just introduced myself. So, I've had a bit of a crazy morning. My wife is sick, home with the kids, so the 7-year-old is running the household, I'm assuming. Had a couple other things going on this morning, so I'm going to pray just to calm myself, and I'd love for you to join with me as we pray before we receive God's word. Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. I thank you that we are all here in this building to worship you, to proclaim you, to just experience you, Lord. I pray that through these words that I'm about to share, Lord, that you would that you would speak, Lord, and that anything that isn't from you, any words that I have that aren't from you, Lord, would they just fall away, Lord. Lord, I just pray for peace and calm in my own heart, and I'm sure there are others here who have had crazy mornings or crazy weeks, Lord, and I pray that we would be able to receive what you have for us with joy today. I pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Cool. So we're going to talk about baptisms in a couple minutes, but we are actually in the middle of, well, we're coming towards the end of our series that we've called It's Like This. And we've been looking at, in the book of Matthew, chapter 13, when Jesus uses parables to describe what the kingdom of heaven is like. And we are, I think this is week 7, and if you've missed any of those, our sermons are all online. Our website's right there, newlifea2.org. There it is. I encourage you to go check that out, catch up. Please don't do it right now. You'll miss this one and then be behind again, So we're going to be starting in Matthew 13. If you have your Bibles with you, go ahead and pull those out. If you don't own a Bible, we have free ones that look like this without my little markings in them. At our info center, we'd love for you to take one of those as our free gift to you. We'd love for you to have your very own Bible. So do that. So Matthew 13, verses 51 and 52. Let me give you a little bit of context before I jump in. Jesus is just, we're in somebody's house now. He was outside. He told a lot of parables. They went inside, and Jesus explained some of the parables and told more to the disciples. And now he's asking them, do you understand? So starting in verse 51, it says, have you understood all these things? Jesus asked. Yes, they replied. He said to them, therefore, every teacher of the law who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. So there's a couple different things about this, okay? The first is that this isn't actually Jesus talking about the kingdom of heaven. I don't know if you guys noticed that. Jesus is talking about this is what a person is like who has been trained in the kingdom of heaven. And he's talking about the experts in the law, people who knew their Bible really well. And these aren't always Jesus' favorite people, right? If you read in Luke 11, they're the scribes or the experts of the law. They started out as something good. Ezra was one of these people. They're people who copied the law and became experts in it. But it became something that was oppressive. In Luke chapter 11, it says, woe to you, experts in the law, because you have taken away the key to knowledge. You yourselves have not entered, and you have hindered those who were entering. See, Jesus doesn't always have nice things to say about the experts in the law. They're people that, as they studied the law, they get into all the really minute detail, and they missed the big picture. And so Jesus is saying back in Matthew, says somebody who gets the whole picture, somebody who has been an expert in the law, who gets the picture, that sees that the Old Testament, all of it, is pointing to Jesus. They've been trained in that. They are like this. And that can be any one of us. We have printing presses now, so there aren't very many people who copy the Bible down by hand. You don't have to do that. But each one of us can strive to become an expert in the law. I encourage you, read your Bible. Become an expert in it. Find resources. If there's stuff in there that's confusing, which there's lots of it, get help. Ask for help. Find resources online. Become an expert. And as you read through the Old Testament, as you're bogged down in Leviticus, if you're trying to read straight through, I don't know, there are probably millions of Bible reading plans that have been abandoned at Leviticus. As you're reading through those things, look to see, try to figure out, okay, how does this point towards the kingdom of God? How does this point towards Jesus coming to rule? And Jesus says, if you do that, then you're like this. You're like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. Right, the picture is, they, in this society, they had this, they stored things, right? They didn't have a 7-Eleven or something, stores really, that they could just go and get what they needed. They stored things. And so this, if you understand God's word, if you see how God's word points to the kingdom of God, then you can be like somebody who can bring forth what is needed when it is needed. You can understand the Old Testament, you can understand the new things that Jesus taught us, and you can bring them when people need them. This is about being a light. This is about pointing people to God's truth. And we live in a world that desperately needs that truth. I read an article in USA Today yesterday. It was called, How to Take Care of Yourself in This Messed Up World. And last week, it seems like several times through this series, we've had to pause and just pray and ask, what is God doing? How is he working? Because the world is so messed up. Nearly 400 people were killed in Baghdad, 49 killed in Orlando, 41 in Istanbul, the police shootings in Louisiana and Minnesota, the officers killed in Dallas. Over the weekend, 84 people killed in Nice, 200 plus killed in a coup attempt in Turkey. It's easy to look at the world and say, what is going on? It's easy to call it messed up. That's probably the PG word. And if you study God's word, if you understand what God's doing in the kingdom, I look at these things and it's hard to say, what is God doing? But if I ground myself in God's word, I have things available to me that the world desperately needs. I'm going to highlight a few of those before I talk about how they actually apply to what we're doing with baptism today, too. This world, I would say, desperately needs hope. Okay, reading those things, I got a little depressed as I was reading all of the people that have been killed in the last few weeks in the name of hatred. And it's okay to grieve. I don't want us to be people who are like, you know, I think of like the Flanders kids, right, who nothing fazes them. They're always thinking about God's word, and they're never sad unless it's sad about something in God's word. Right? We don't have to be people who never grieve. No, we need to grieve. But we have a hope. And I think one of my favorite verses of that intersection between grief and hope is actually found in the book of Lamentations. It's chapter 3. It says, I will never forget this awful time as I grieve over my loss. Yet I still dare to hope when I remember this. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance, therefore I will hope in him. That is smack dab in the middle of a book that's titled Funeral Songs as the literal translation. Will you dare to hope when you're faced with awful circumstances in this world? Will you dare to hope? Will you bring that hope out? Will you point other people to the hope that you have in Jesus? I think another thing that our world and our country especially needs is unity, right? The race issues that are going on, I feel like, are threatening to tear our country apart. and we, the church, are called to be united in Christ. John 17, Jesus prays for us. Us here right now, those that believe. He says, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. We have an opportunity to be the church, to love one another, to be united, and to show God and his glory to the whole world. And the reason that we can do that is because our identity isn't in our race, it isn't in our sexual preference, it isn't in any of those things. It's not in our gender. And Paul touched on this in Galatians. Our identity is in Christ. He says, so in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There's neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. See, Paul's not saying those things aren't true of those people anymore. Those things aren't true of us. We are male and female, right? But it's not the most important thing about you. Your race, your gender, those aren't the most important things about you. The most important thing about you is that you're clothed in Christ Jesus. And because of that, we can be unified. We can have unity. Because of that, we have hope. Because of what Christ did on the cross. And so today, as we do baptisms, they're a picture of those things. Baptisms is so awesome. I love them because, one, we get to hear people's stories, and we'll do that in just a little bit. Each person that's getting baptized is going to have a few minutes just to share a bit of their testimony. It's so powerful just to hear how God has moved, and it's so different in each of their lives. We get to reflect on the hope that we have in Christ. And going under the water and coming up out of the water, it's symbolic of that hope, that what Jesus did on the cross, that was for me. He raised from the dead, and so one day we too will raise and rule with him in a new heaven and a new earth. We do baptisms in front of the church because you're baptized into the body of Christ. We are united. We are all one. It's saying that this is, like I just said, that this is the most important thing about me. And I'm with all of you. I'm united with all of you. And I am his. I am Christ. What happened on that cross, that was for me. And each of the people getting baptized, they're declaring that today. Whether they say that in their words or not, the actions are saying that Jesus is my Lord. What he did on the cross was for me. And his identity for me, the identity that he has given me, that's what's the most important thing about me. At New Life, we do baptisms after somebody has placed their faith in Christ. We do that because that's the example that we see in the New Testament. And we do baptism by immersion because that's what we see in the New Testament too. And I know with parents here and just this size of a crowd, there are probably people that have a different baptism theology than we practice here at New Life Church. And I want you guys to hear me say, that's okay. And if you want to talk to me about it afterwards, you are welcome to do that. We'd love to talk to you about it. But that's what we do. We try to follow God's word as closely as we can, and this is how we've chosen to practice it. So if you have questions, ask me later. If you're interested in getting baptized, mark that on your comment card as well. We have the opportunity. We're declaring right now our hope, our unity, our identity. And we're declaring it to the world as we walk out from these doors as well. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to hear some stories. Lord, I thank you that we have the treasure that is your word. We have truth, and we have hope, and the things that it tells us, Lord, are what this world needs most. Lord, I pray that we would be diligent students of your word, that we would study it, that we would have it on our minds, we'd have it available when it's needed, that we could bring it forth like it's from a storehouse, Lord. Would that the storehouse of our minds be filled with your truth? Lord, we just, I'm excited for those that are getting baptized. I know that you'll be glorified through it, Lord. May this be a declaration to the world of your glory. I pray this in your name. Amen.